Ears to hear aren't made of skin and cartilage. Neither are they cultivated by self-discipline and the diligent obedience of men to the law of God. Ears to hear are created and opened by the God who calls into existence that which does not exist. For in the kingdom of heaven, only the deaf hear, only the blind see, only the lame walk, only the dead live. Only the humble are exalted, and only the fool will believe. God hides himself in weakness, the weakness of parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And so today you hear the parable of the sower. You hear how the sower went out to sow his seed, but you would have thought that he was blindfolded before he left. For like a blind man, this sower casts his seed. Heedlessly, he casts his reckless love this way and that. He scatters abroad his goodly seed, intent alone that men may have the wholesome loaves that all men need. Consider the foolishness of this, how recklessly, unpredictably, and haphazardly he wanders over hill and dale, sowing his seed from here to kingdom come. He sows on asphalt and sand, among weeds and thorns, where soil is thick and thin, rich and poor. It matters not. And thus he behaves in ways that baffle the pragmatic, the business savvy, and the self-absorbed wisdom of this world. He gives without thought of where the seed may land, sowing his seed in foolish, weak, and impossible places. He sows his seed with no thought of gain or loss, conscious only that the seed is good and that men are in need. He sows onto the trodden path, the rocky soil, and the thorny ground. He sows into the deaf ear, the blind eye, and the hard heart. He sows where no drunken farmer in his darkest hour would ever have sown. He sows where wheat does not, will not, should not, and cannot grow. He sows though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked and matted flat. The sower sows and his heart cries out, oh, what of that? And what of that? He sowed it on Sodom and four seeds took root. Or was it three? The rest falls on rocky hearts destined for fire and brimstone. Oh, what of that, and what of that? He sows it on Nineveh, and over 120,000 seeds take root. Oh, what of that, and what of that? He sows it on Israel, in the Joshuas and Calebs and Rahabs and Moseses. The seeds find a home and grow. In others, however, the seed finds soil as soft as concrete. It finds souls as hospitable as hell. But as he sows, his heart cries out, oh, what of that? And what of that? The sower went out to sow his seed nevertheless, and he frivolously cast it out, finding your heart. I wonder, will it take root? Will this seed of Christ, the seed of his grace and mercy, take root in you? Or has it? And if it has, will it remain? Will it take root in a heart like yours, a heart that is always eager to do good, that is, so long as it's pleasant and profitable for you? Will it take root in a heart like yours, a heart that consistently rejects temptations, that is, so long as the temptations are to do things you really don't enjoy anyway? Will it take root in a heart like yours, a heart that loves others? That is, so long as they are like-minded, nice to you, compliment you, and do what you want. Will the seed of the word remain in a heart like yours, a heart that loves a good story? That is, a story that displays the weaknesses, failures, and even stupidity of someone else. Will the seed of the word remain in a heart like yours, a heart that keeps close tabs on how much money is in the bank, but pays little attention to how much of the gold and silver of God's word which has fallen from your ears, litters this church's floor. Will the seed of Christ, the seed of his grace and mercy, take root in a heart like yours, a heart as clean as a cistern and as fertile as a brick? You know the truth as well as I do. You think that compared to the hearts of hookers and thieves, yours is spick and span. You think the sower sowed his seed in you because he saw such good soil. You think the sower sowed his seed in you because he saw what a good and generous person you are. But that is only the lie that you and I love to believe, because it makes us feel good about ourselves, a lie that allows us to judge everyone else but ourselves. The truth is, however, that when the sower sowed his seed in you, it fell on rock-hard soil. And where there weren't rocks, there were weeds, and where there weren't weeds, there were birds waiting to devour it. But the word of God did fall upon rich and beautiful soil. And this soil produced fruit 100-fold here, 60-fold here, and 30-fold over there. For when the seed, when God's word fell upon good soil, it became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, the word of God became flesh. He dwelt among us because the incarnate word is that seed which was promised to Eve in the garden. The good soil is the word of God made flesh. It is the person of Christ himself. He is that promised seed of Eve, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, became man. In his incarnation, he became that good soil for you. He became that good soil which produces 100-fold here, 60-fold there, and 30-fold over there. And not by the changing of the divinity in the flesh, but by taking up of the humanity into God. But just as a seed must die before it produces its fruit, so also the seed of Eve, God's incarnate word, Jesus Christ our Lord, died giving his life on the cross so that from his death would sprout and grow life eternal. God's word does not return to him empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. For though Jesus Christ, the word of God made flesh, was crucified for your transgressions, he was also raised again for your redemption, your justification. He thence ascended. He returned, having accomplished his purpose, and with ransom in hand, to sit at the right hand of his Father in heaven, to plead your cause on your behalf. You are therefore righteous, innocent, the good soil on account of Jesus Christ, from his holy body and precious blood, from the good, rich, and beautiful soil germinates the church. Because the church is Christ's body, the church is that bud spoken of old, which stems and shoots forth from the root of Jesse. And all of Christendom is cultivated from the water and blood which flowed out of his pierced side. This water, which rained down from his side, falls upon and pools into all the founts of Christendom. It is a life-giving water, a water combined with seed, a water combined with God's word, a water that softens and cultivates your hard-panned hearts. This water makes you good soil. It cleanses your sin-soiled hearts, creating fertile ground for faith in Christ. This water makes you good soil by making you members of his body, the only true and good soil, not by the changing of the divinity in your flesh, but by the taking up of your humanity, of you, into him. You are hidden in him and clothed with him. In holy baptism, your good-for-nothing soil is watered and seeded to produce faith, and this produces that faithful fruit of 160 and 30-fold. And his precious blood, in that bloody downpour from the same pierced side, it fills every chalice of Christendom. It gives nourishment to the soul made good in holy baptism. It nourishes and sustains you. It strengthens and preserves you in the one true faith to life everlasting. You are therefore rooted in the good soil of Christ's body, through his holy body and precious blood. You taste and see that the Lord is good, for through this sacrament of love, God keeps the soil of your heart fertile for faith in him. And this faith produces a yield of 100, 60, and 30 in love for your neighbor. In Christ, you are good soil. And as such, you do have ears to hear. Through God's word preached and his sacraments given out, ears to hear have been created in you, not of skin and cartilage, but of the Holy Spirit. And thus you hear the word of God and understand. And so the reckless sower continues to sow his good seed, and he continues to sow it in you every Lord's day, fertilizing you to remain good soil in Christ Jesus. When the harvest comes, therefore, the Lord of the harvest will find in you a crop, a hundredfold crop, a faith in Jesus Christ, your good soil ripened unto eternal life. This is most certainly true. In the holy name of Jesus.